Okay, 1 Samuel 16, 1 Samuel 16. And we're going to start to look at verse 14, dealing with the mind of Saul, and we have watched him. He started out okay, started out following the Lord, and he has degraded along the way. And 1 Samuel 16, verse 14 says this, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." What a sad place to be, but I want to preach tonight on a troubled spirit, looking at the mind of Saul, a troubled spirit. Let's pray. We'll ask for God's help tonight. Father, I ask you would help us. God, I pray. Lord, I know that your word is needful to all of us, and Father, I pray tonight that this would just be a help. God, that we would be able to see, and we're thankful that your sweet Holy Spirit will never leave us, will never forsake us, will always be there for us. But God, let us be reminded not to grieve him and not to quench him. And Father, I ask that you would help us to be able to take a look at our own hearts, our own minds tonight, and God, that we would be able to live in peace and joy that comes from following you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the Spirit of the Lord departed. I want to take notice of 1 Samuel chapter 10. Let's back up just a little bit, 1 Samuel chapter 10. And verse number 7 through 10, this is when Saul was still little in his own eyes. He was still following God's instructions. He was doing what God told him to do. And it said, "And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, to sacrifice of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry, till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Here, Saul had the Spirit of God come on him. He used him. He worked through him. And that was happening in those early days of Saul's life. And then we get to the point in Saul's life where Saul came to that point where he's like, I need to hear from God. And he gets scared. He gets nervous. And as that takes place, he's looking at it and he's not hearing anything. He takes it upon himself to offer a sacrifice, and wasn't his place to do it. And then he's not hearing from God. It's like, I need to hear from God. I need to hear from God. This isn't in my notes, but we just went over an institute. I just want to point out something in Malachi, because it relates to this idea. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regarded not the offering any more, or received it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore?" And here's a situation, they're like, I mean, the altar's there. They're weeping. They're crying out. They're saying, God, I need you. God, I've got to have you. You know, God, why aren't you hearing me? And in this case, in Malachi, it was simply this. Yet you say, wherefore? God, why aren't you hearing me? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion, the wife of thy covenant. God said, you put your wife away. You dealt treacherously with her. I'm not hearing right now. Saul's situation was not exact like that, but it was this. Saul was disobeying God. It's all right here. It's this. I have one. Can we switch out? And Saul is, God's not listening. Finally, it gets to this point, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Judges 16:20 deals with another man, his name's Samson. She said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. This is a tragedy. Saul could have been greatly used. Saul, his problem was he disobeyed God, never repented. He disobeyed God again, never repented. You don't see him coming back and getting right. You only see him saying, well, I'll acknowledge my sin if somehow or another it will benefit me. Okay, I did a little bit wrong, but it was the people's fault. Samuel, if you'll just make sure that I hold my honor as king among the people, that's all I'm looking for. Saul literally never shows contrition. He never shows a contrite heart, a broken heart over his sin. It's just simply a matter of, oh, I got caught. I'm sorry, don't take my kingdom away. And that's the way he lived. Now, I want you to notice something. You obviously know the relationship between Saul and David. And David is fleeing from Saul, and David finally becomes king. I want to point out something. Psalm 51:11. And I want you to remember that David, while Saul was going through this, while he had a troubled spirit, while he had the Holy Spirit of God depart from him, and he's angry, and he's bitter, and he's frustrated, who's playing the harp before Saul? David. And David watched it happen. I want you to notice something in David's prayer in Psalm 51, when David is king and David has sinned against God. And David confesses, but he makes this statement in Psalm 51:11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Think David's remembering something? David's looking at this saying, whoa. I watched this happen with my predecessor. I watched this happen with Saul. And when the Holy Spirit of God left Saul and God sent a troubled spirit into his mind, I watched him literally lose his sanity in many ways. And David here, after being several months, even up to a year, without confessing his sin, all of a sudden he's on his face before God. And part of his prayer is, God, please forgive me. Please, please don't make me end up like Saul. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I've got to have you. The difference between David and Saul is David is truly broken for his sin. There is contrition. He's asking for forgiveness, and he's not asking for forgiveness just to get something back. He's just coming back to God. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, I'm glad the Holy Spirit of God can never depart from me. I am glad that the Holy Spirit of God can never depart from you. We are sealed till the day of redemption. We are safe. We are secure. The Holy Spirit of God is the earnest, thank you, the earnest of our salvation. He's there for us. But God warns us as New Testament Christians, Holy Spirit's not departing. But he warns us, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And what is he saying? If we, in our manner of living, in the things that we do, as born-again believers with the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside us permanently, securely, if we live in such a way as to be unholy and unclean before God, it grieves the very Holy Spirit of God. And as it grieves the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God says, I don't want to be exposed to this. And the Holy Spirit of God, though still in us, he draws back. We have grieved him. We have hurt him. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, quench not the Spirit, that very Spirit that wants to give us the power that he gave to Samson. The Holy Spirit of God that wants to give us the power that he gave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Acts, I believe it's chapter 10, it talks about that God through the Holy Spirit went about doing good works. That same Holy Spirit wants to work in us, but he can be grieved. He can be quenched. And it is a truly horrible thing to be out of fellowship with God. It's a truly horrible thing to hurt that dear Holy Spirit of God. And upon the Holy Spirit departing from Saul, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So an evil spirit comes in and troubles him. We can either be walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, or we can quench the Holy Spirit. And believe me, a born-again believer cannot be possessed by an evil spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is not going to share a dwelling with an evil spirit. But when we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, and we don't listen to the Word of God, and we go the way of the world, and we lean to our own understanding, and we quit acknowledging Him in all our ways, and we quit trusting in the Lord with all our heart, and we start to lose God's direction in our life because we just won't follow the book. Believe me, the troubled spirits of the world are there just waiting to ruin our lives. And no, they can't come inside, but they can do plenty from the outside. And the devil himself, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he's just waiting for us to start leaning to our own understanding. He's waiting for us to stop acknowledging God in all of our ways, acknowledging Him. He's just waiting for us to stop trusting the Lord with all our heart. And Satan is ready to have a heyday with our lives when we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The servant's view of solving the problems are found in verse 15. And we read on down. It says this: Saul's servants said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. So they recognize this. Saul's troubled. Saul is getting some mental trouble at this point in time. Saul is having trouble in his mind. Saul is in a dark place. Saul is not the same guy he used to be. And the servants recognize it. And they say to him, verse 16, let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You know, they'd come up with all kinds of names for this today. Bipolar or whatever it may be. Look, Saul is depressed. He's oppressed. He's got a bad spirit. You know, God's taken his good spirit off of him and said, go ahead. Run with Saul. And Saul's servants come and they say, look, maybe this will solve the problem. And they say, let's bring in a musician. He'll play the harp. That'll get you in a better mood. Here's our world today. People turn to eating. Man, chocolate ice cream, that'll solve it. Then you're more depressed because Katundra. Alcohol, that'll solve it. Drown away my sorrows. They won't come back until tomorrow morning. Drugs, that'll solve it. I won't have my mental capacity. I won't be able to think of anything. Immorality, that'll solve it. That'll be a fix. That'll take care of it. Video games, that'll drown out my mind. Anything to drown out the troubled thoughts that they're having. Just give me something to take me out of reality because I don't like my reality. And the reason he didn't like his reality is because he had disobeyed God, and he had disobeyed God, and he had disobeyed God, and he wouldn't repent, and he wouldn't repent, and he wouldn't repent, and now everybody's trying to solve his problems, and his problems are not solvable because he won't get right with God. You know who he needs to be talking to? He needs to be talking to God. You know what he needs? He needs the Bible. The king, wasn't he supposed to read it every day? You know what he needs? He needs to get Samuel, and he needs to go to Samuel, and he needs to bring to the high priest a sin offering for his sin and say, look, I'm going to go back to the Word of God. I'm going to follow the Word of God. I need God back in my life. But that's not happening. It's, I'm going to solve this with music. I'm going to solve this my way. I'm going to solve this however it will happen. Now, because he's living in rebellion against God, God has stepped away. Samuel has stepped away. And he's living in this deeply disturbed state. He has people who are concerned about him. They want to help. But you don't see one servant saying, Saul, maybe if you would confess your sin and get right with God, maybe God would start hearing you again. No, what they're looking for is a solve of the symptoms. Let's get rid of this depressed state that he's in. They bring in the music. Oh, yeah, oh, that was good. That took my mind off of it for a minute. I'm okay now until he's right back in it. Because there is no joy. There is no peace outside of being right with God. In our society, psychiatrists are medical doctors who can prescribe medication and treat severe mental health disorders. Psychologists focus on providing therapy and counseling without prescribing medication. I kind of looked up the difference between the two because I really didn't know. But you know what? Both professionals work in mental health but have different training and different treatment approaches. Those that prescribe drugs, you got Xanax, you got Paxil. Common antidepressants include selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Basically, it keeps your serotonin from going up. Zoloft, I'm not reading the specific names, these are the brand names. Zoloft, Prozac. And then there's serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, Cymbalta. Look, what are people looking for? Medications are frequently prescribed to help alleviate symptoms of depression and anxiety. Do you know that 50 years ago, no one was on any of those? And society survived? How is that possible? Maybe more people walked with the Spirit of God. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Saul didn't know Christ. Christ hadn't come and died for our sins yet. But they had a system that God had set up. And the answer for his problems were getting right with God. And let me say this, that wasn't going to give the kingdom back. That was done. But you know what? You can lose the kingdom and get right with God and still serve out the rest of your days in the joy of the Lord. Yes, maybe bad things happen because a person isn't walking with God. And when you get right with God, it's not necessarily going to undo all of those bad things. Person may have, maybe they've got liver cancer because of their lifestyle. Or maybe they've got this disease because of their lifestyle. Well, get right with God, it doesn't necessarily make that go away. But you know what? If you get right with God, you can live with joy and peace through those trials. And you realize, you know what? I've brought a lot of these things on myself. And I'm reaping the consequences of my sin. But in the middle of this, I can walk with God Almighty. Shortly after David prays in Psalm chapter 51, right around that time, his baby dies. He has some tragic things happen in his family. And where do you find him? On his knees with God, singing to God, writing psalms to God. Consequences for his sin were very real. But he said, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And so Saul here is, they're trying to solve all of these problems in all the worldly ways. And oh yeah, it temporarily helps. David shows up, he plays the harp. David was a skilled player. David was walking with God. His music even temporarily alleviated the condition of Saul. But Saul wasn't right with God, so it came right back. And a person may, listen to some Christian music. That'll help me. It may help you, but if you don't get right with God, your problem's just going to come back. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Your problems are just starting, buddy. Yep. Just go give it to them and put a little of the joy of the Lord in him. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you see Saul thinking on those things? No. You're going to look at Saul, and we're going to continue down this road with Saul, but you're going to look at Saul, and you're going to find Saul is dwelling on his problems. He's dwelling on the loss of his kingdom. He's dwelling on his newfound enemy, David, shortly. He's dwelling on fear. You know, he just keeps going down. And for a person that won't get right with God, a person that won't humble themselves, the Bible says, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will or shall lift thee up. And I'm not sure which it is, but you know what? God does the lifting up. But he's not going to do it while we're so prideful that we're right and God's wrong. And we need God. And we've got to get our mind thinking in the places and on the things that will help draw us more toward God. We need God's help and God's strength. If we were looking at David, we would dwell a little bit more on this passage, but we're looking at Saul, and Saul's got this troubled spirit. David comes and plays. In verse 23, it says, "It came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." But you'll find David playing again and getting a javelin cast at him. You'll find him playing and getting a javelin cast at him. It just goes downhill. Why? The root of the problem is not in Saul's brain, it's not in his head, it's in his soul. He needs the Spirit of God back. But God said, "I can't do anything with him. He won't repent. He won't allow himself to be used. Just stepping back." We need the peace of God. Let me look at a few verses in the New Testament. Philippians 4:7. Says this, "And the peace of God," isn't that a wonderful thing, "which passeth all understanding." How many of you have seen people in, you look at them and you think, how in the world, after just going through that, can they have the peace of God? You seen it? And yet, other people go through something and they have no peace. What's the difference? One is walking with God, seeking God, and God's directing their path, and God's giving them that peace. "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Isn't that a great verse? Colossians 3:15. This one says this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." See any thankfulness in Saul recently? Literally, God's there. God's waiting for him to repent. God has a system in place that he can bring that. And Saul doesn't use it. You know what he's not doing? He's not letting the peace of God rule in his heart. He's letting the Holy Spirit, the evil spirit, rule in his heart instead. You know, this is a tremendous thing. Isaiah 9:6, you don't have to turn there, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's our Savior. His name is Jesus. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't his counsel grand? He's mighty. He's everlasting. But he is the Prince of Peace. And we can live with a relationship with the Prince of Peace. Don't you think if you're walking with the Prince of Peace, that you have peace in your heart? And don't you think if you don't have peace in your heart, that maybe you ought to check and see if you're walking with the Prince of Peace? Romans 14:17 It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost. But David prayed, God, I need that joy back. Because what happened, he realized he was on the very brink of what had happened to Saul. He's saying, God, I don't want to go there. Everybody knows somebody that's so backslidden that they don't want anything to do with God. And you look at it, and if you get away from God and you start going down a path, there's somebody, and you think, no, it's not worth it. Don't want to end up like that. Don't want to go down that road. God, forgive me, and we get brought back. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing. What's the word? Nothing. Nothing shall offend them. That word offend is to cause to stumble and fall. You know what? If we stay in love with God and in love with His law and in love with the book, hard things do happen, but the Prince of Peace is right there. Tough situations happen, but the Wonderful Counselor is right there. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, He's there. He's there for you. He's there with you. And we look at that and think about that. We don't need to turn to habits. We don't need to turn to addictions. We don't need to turn to medicines. We need to turn to God. Get on our knees and get with God and say, God, You've told me about this peace. And we need to be in love with this book. Say, God, I don't want to fall. God, I don't want to be offended. God, give me a love for Your word and love for You that will be unwaverable no matter what happens. Every one of us is flesh. Any one of us can look right now and say, you know, I've got peace right now. Maybe you don't right now and you need it. But you can look at it. You can say, I've got peace right now. And none of us truly know how we're going to react when the next bad thing happens. And anybody that would be so brazen as to say, well, I won't be offended. Yeah, remember Peter? Look, we need God's help. We need God's help. Saul needed God's help. It was God that stepped away, and he needed to come back. Saul needed him back. But God tells us, it's a very short verse. He mentioned it in the song service. Draw nigh to God, and he shall draw nigh to thee. God will draw nigh to you. He's there. I think of that prodigal son. Father's waiting. Soon as he sees him coming his direction, what's he do? I don't think he walked. But as long as that son was determined to go the way of the hog pen, staying out of fellowship with God, out of fellowship with his father, the father was just waiting. Just waiting. So let's look at this and let's understand. Maybe you're troubled tonight. Maybe you got problems so big that people can't comprehend them. And I'll say this, pray for one another. You may not have them now, but yours may be down the road. We don't know. But I know this. Saul does not turn to God. There's no evidence of prayer. There's nothing of him seeking God. He's not showing up at the temple. We don't see him calling for, we need to have a feast of the Passover. It's just Saul is doing his own thing. And you're going to watch that. And it goes from being this grand start for God to a tragedy over the course of years of his life. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to do this tonight. Want to sing the song, Tell It to Jesus. Brother Schrock, if you would come, tell us what page number that is. If you want to come and pray, I'd encourage you to come and pray. If you want to stand and sing, it's a great song. Tell it to Jesus. You do what God would have you to do. We'll sing.
351 in your songbooks. Tell it to Jesus.
Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Jesus, he is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
He's there for you. And we need him. And he's good. See, here's the thing. If we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding and in all our ways acknowledge him, he shall direct our paths. But if we, like Saul, go the world's way. I'm going to solve this with this. If you look somewhere else, basically, that's an idol. This is going to solve it. No, Jesus is going to solve it. Jesus is going to solve it. Not immersing ourselves in something to kill our brain, but going to the Lord Jesus Christ and telling Him, and let, there's no other such a friend or brother. And He's there for us. Father, we ask that You would help us. God, I know right now there are specific needs. There are things that are going on. And God, things that really no one can resolve but You. Father, I pray for our church family. I pray for the needs of everybody. God, we need Your help. We need Your strength day by day. And Father, I can't design the problems and the messages to interact and coincide. You do that. God, I pray that we would let Your peace rule in our hearts. God, I pray that You would help us to keep our eyes on You. Father, help us not to turn to this world to resolve our issues and our problems and our struggles. God, we need You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have a great week.